Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. Your host, Mr. Jono Petrohilos, currently generates over $1 million a year selling his online courses. And now he teaches you how to do the same. Along with listening to our podcast, make sure to join the Course Creator Community Facebook group. It's one of the largest and most engaged Facebook groups in the space. You'll find the link in the show notes. Anyway, let's get to today's show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I'm your host, Jono, and I am super excited because we have an absolute rock star on the line this week. Now, I know I say that about every guest every week, but this person actually is a rock star. She's got the statistics to bring it up. A little bit about this person. She runs her business, Rebel's Guide to Project Management. As a result of that, she's put an online course together. She's had a very successful online course launch that she's going to tell us about. On top of that, that also led to her publishing a book, and not self-publishing, publishing the traditional way, which is quite a hard thing to do. So very impressive. And that's opened all sorts of doors as well. So without further ado, let me introduce, all the way from Surrey over there in the UK, the one and only Elizabeth Harron. Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
No, thank you for coming on. I know it's 7 a.m. over there in the UK, and you could have been anywhere, and you've chosen to hang out with me and my listeners. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Elizabeth, I know I gave a little bit of an overview there, but I'd like to hear in a little bit more detail, what is it you actually do? Because there may be some of the listeners that are interested. So feel free to sell yourself. You're allowed to do that. And more okay. importantly, I'd love to hear the story about how you went from doing what you were doing. How'd you put together the online course? Why'd you put it together? How did it go? And we'll get into all that, but give me the rundown. What is it you do? How did it start?
Okay. What do I do and how did it start? Well, I started writing a long, long time ago, but I know you don't want to go back that far in history. And I write about what I know. So as a project manager was my day job, and I started creating a blog about project management and what it was like to do the job. And then I suppose I kind of fell into that kind of online blogging and influencer world, although it wasn't called that back then. And, you know, fast forward 15 years, and as somebody who's trying to tap into what's new and what's relevant to people working with projects as their day job, whether they've got the job title of project manager or whether they're just somebody who does projects on the side of their day job, whether they're an entrepreneur who's trying to juggle several different initiatives to keep their business moving forward, and lots of other roles these days have projects as part of what the people are expected to do. And I was trying to stay up to date with what was going on and what I was thinking was missing for people who were in these jobs. And the biggest change I saw personally for myself when I came back to work after maternity leave, and for a lot of the people that I mentor, was having to do more projects. So my personal journey was, I started out managing one, maybe two slightly larger big projects, and that was my employment. And then I found myself juggling, you know, four or five, six smaller things that still needed to be managed, but nobody had ever taught me how to do that. And so I suppose the course idea came from this gap, which was, how do I help people try and manage their time better and manage multiple projects? Because if you pick up a book, The Dummy's Guide to Project Management, even some of the books I've written, it's all very much around, here's how you do a project. You start at the beginning and you do some stuff in the middle and then you close it down. But who works like that? I mean, if you've got entrepreneur brain like me, you've got 1,000 things up in there, and trying to hold them all straight was difficult. So I saw that that might be something I could share with other people, because I kind of figured it out for myself, and the course came from there.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit more about that kind of thing, like where it came from there. So, you know, you already had a blog, is that right?
Yes.
Awesome. And you're obviously writing about this topic. And then you were like, all right, I've got to stay current. Okay, I see an opportunity here. I'm going to put a course together. How did that kind of work? Did you just do it? Did you do some research? Did you see what's out there? How did that kind of step work?
I did do some research to see what was out there. And I can't say I was very impressed with other things on that topic. So was certainly one thing. And then I looked at, you know, what felt safe for me, what would be the easiest way to put something together that was sort of kind of low effort and able to give me some information. So I put together a cohort of people who would work with me for 6 months, which is very long. And the current course doesn't look anything like this.
Yeah.
And we tackled one topic a month. So it was taught live. And then we had Q&A sessions and things like that. So I can't remember how many people were in that cohort. Maybe 80, let's say, something around that number. Not thousands and thousands. Mm. But we looked at how do you manage projects from a scheduling perspective? What does your diary look like? What does time management look like? How do you keep all of the different names of the stakeholders straight? And how do you, you're just looking at all the different aspects of how do you manage projects? We looked at one a month for 6 months and then it was done. And the feedback from that was really good. And I thought, well, maybe there is something here. Teaching it live over 6 months was a slow entry, and it meant I could create the material as I was going. So I hadn't got to have all the course created in advance. But it's not something that was very sustainable or repeatable in that format. Yeah. So then I suppose it took about a year before I thought, can I teach this live? So I then did a version where I compressed it and taught it live over a number of weeks. So we had different people joining for that cohort. And then I thought, I really like this topic. I really think it's useful. And so the next evolution was I videoed all of the training. In fact, I did totally new training videos with PowerPoint slides, but much shorter, because I think the way, and I'd be interested in your view on this actually, the way online courses seem to be going is not hour-long webinars anymore, but 10, 15 minutes of video.
I'll share what I'm seeing there, Elizabeth. People prefer it shorter. Like, let's say we've got two courses that has the same outcome. My course is a 5-hour course. Your course is a 1-hour course. People would prefer yours. Even though it's shorter, you used to, the theory used to be, well, the more info, the better, right? But that's changed a bit now, because it's kind of like there's so much info out there. It's kind of like info's not the most valuable thing. It's like, how can you teach someone that info in the shortest time possible so they don't have to flick through all these different things to find it?
Exactly. And get the results. Because in my world, you know, project managers are busy people.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs are busy people. PAs are busy people. Event planners are busy people. None of these people, no one's got any time to invest.
Especially for a time management course, right?
It's kind of come to my time management course. Yeah. It's going to take 6 months. Yeah. Just no. So I cut down all the training. Yeah.
Now, I just want to take a minute and let everyone know, if you're a course creator, you've already got a course and it's not quite selling, or if you're still in the process of putting your course together, at the Course Creator Community, we actually have a VIP group coaching program. It's the best program of its kind and the most affordable as well. So if you'd like some extra help and guidance in either putting your course together or selling your online course, I recommend joining the Course Creator Community VIP program. I'll put the links down in the show notes.
And the other thing I did was I went for that recorded version was I created a 5-step model, because again, from a marketing perspective, back in the early 2000s, you didn't need to have anything kind of branded, but now everybody has their own signature model and their signature acronyms and things like that. So I put all of my materials, basically the same materials, just called each module something different. But into a 5-step process. So that made the marketing much easier, because I could sell on the basis that you were going to learn this 5-step thing. So the short videos, the framework of the 5 steps, I recorded it all. I put it all up on the internet. I was like, come and buy my thing. But I wanted to also make sure that we had the option for people to do that live interaction, because I think from a course participant perspective, I've always struggled to get through online courses, because you have to make the time and you have to, there's no accountability. So for people who like that accountability, we set up once a week Q&A calls, which was brilliant for me, because all I had to do was just show up and answer questions on what they'd learned that week. So let's say on Monday they got an email saying this is the topic for the week, to direct them to watch the videos. And if they wanted to binge it all in the first weekend, they absolutely could. But if they wanted to sort of follow along with the cohort, then they paid a bit extra for the privilege of coming to the live course. So you had a sort of self-study option where people could just get the videos and binge it themselves. Great for people who are self-motivated. But if you wanted a bit more accountability and someone to hold your hand through the materials, then you could come to the VIP calls, I was calling them, once a week, show up for that over 5 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks. I think we threw in an extra one. And then, you know, you can be stepped through it and have somebody there to answer your questions. So awesome. That was basically the model, really. It was a total evolution from a vague idea through to two different iterations of it to the version that we've settled on today.
Well, I've got a couple questions there, but I'll also share, because I interview successful course creators on this all the time, right? And that's one of the common threads I see. It's very rare that someone's just like, right, I'm going to put 100% on-demand course together and it sells great off the start. Most people do what most people even start, and you probably did as well, started kind of one-on-one in some setting. You might have mentored, even if it's not online, maybe whatever, in the workplace, you mentored people one-on-one. And then you're like, all right, this one-on-one stuff's easy. Now let me get a group of people, you know? All right, cool. Now I've mastered this group of people. Now I know all the questions. Now I can put the online course together. It's very hard to put together an online course if you haven't done that stuff beforehand, even if you're good at it. You know, like let's use an example of maybe my background's in fitness. So that's a good one to use, where it's like I could be the fittest person in the world, right? But if I've never trained anyone else, it's all well and good that I can do the exercises. But if I haven't trained anyone else, I don't know what problems you're going to have. I'm not going to know how to best teach you how to do the exercises, right? But if I've taught someone one-on-one, okay, great. Now I know how people work. Now I can do it in groups. All right, now in groups, I've seen it all. No matter what it is, I've seen it. You know, now I can get the online course thing together. So I think that's a good tip for the listeners there. Now, you mentioned you got 80 people. Well, actually, and I'm guessing you that first one that you did for 6 months, that was a charged thing as well, right? That wasn't a
free.
Yeah, cool. Okay, now you got 80 people on that. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people listening to this being like, wow, 80 people, did she have a huge following? Or let us know about that. How big was your following beforehand, before you put this course together?
My mailing list now is about 16,000 people, and it's been hovering around that mark for years, actually. Right. So it probably was around, I don't know, between 12 and 14,000, something like that. So I would say, given the amount of conversions we got, that was quite low. And then, you know, I think we could have achieved the same results with a much smaller list. So I think the list tip I have for the people listening is that I started out building my list with freebies. Yep. And I think over time, I've attracted a lot of people who like freebies, but perhaps who are not able to invest in the products that I sell. So we clean the list on a regular basis. Anyone who stops opening messages and things every 18 months, 2 years or so, we do a re-engagement sequence. If they don't re-engage, they get deleted, which is why we kind of hover around this mark. We add loads of people and then people drop off. And also because people's lives move on, don't they? Your employer might change, or the way that you're running your business might change, and just you get better at doing the things that I teach you how to do, and then you don't need me to be there to hold your hand anymore. So it's totally fine. I don't mind unsubscribes, and I don't mind the feeling of deleting 2,000 people off my list, but they're not the right kind of people. So I'd say I think in my little world, that was a reasonable list of people to attract from. I don't think you need that in order to be successful as a course creator.
There's some good things there. So yeah, with the email, I agree 100%. I actually purge mine every month, Elizabeth.
Really?
Yeah. Well, but I send a lot of emails, right? So I send 2 emails a week, every week. And I'm kind of like, if you haven't opened, you know, my last 10 emails, like, are you ever opening, you know?
But that's only 5 weeks.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like
people could be on sabbatical for the summer.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I just, I don't care enough. I'm just like, look, I want people super engaged in my stuff.
Yes, and good. Also, I can see that.
Also, I got a Facebook group as well. And the Facebook group is kind of my major hub there as well. And I'm kind of like, right, if you're not opening my emails, that's fine. You're in the Facebook group anyway. You see my stuff there. And also with me, the thing is like, I'm more of an open rate guy. And I'm just like, I don't really care how many people on my list. I'll care how many people are actually opening it. So it's kind of like, I'd prefer to have a smaller list with 20% open rate than a big list with 10% open rate. So that's another thing there. I want to touch on what you said. I think it's a very good point where the email list kind of depends if their buyers on that email list. So in my business, Fitness Education Online, that's another business I've got. I built that business pretty much 100% paid ads, selling a paid course. So the Facebook ad was basically like, hey, I'm summarizing and simplifying, but it was basically like, hey, I've got this course. It's $500. Enter your email in here if you want the details for it. So everyone that put their email in were people that were interested in buying. Now that list is, I've just got a list of buyers. And in the industry, no one else, everyone comes to me in the industry, in the fitness industry in Australia. They're just like, John, I've got this course. Can you sell it? Because they just know I've got all the buyers on the list. So I think that's a good point. And it's one that's not often taught. You know, I feel like what most of the gurus kind of teach is just like, hey, get a freebie and build your list. And I think that's
exactly.
Got it.
Which is okay. You know, there's, sorry, I've interrupted you.
No, you go.
I was just going to say yes, and you will build your list, but you will build it not necessarily with your ideal customers. And so I do feel that I've fallen into that trap. And one of the things we did to correct that was to put a tripwire on the list so people can sign up for free templates. We've got actually really good free things. The free things are really nice. But after that, then you've got the opportunity to buy a $9 even better thing. And so hopefully the tripwire starts to encourage people or to make people aware that there will be products that will be sold.
I'll tell you what I found as well, right? People that buy that tripwire are more likely to buy the main course as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
I did a webinar 6 months ago or something now, and I had like a tripwire after the thank you on the webinar, which was registered for the webinar. You know, hey, thanks, you're registered. By the way, check out this thing for $20 or $50. I can't remember what it was. And, you know, two or three people bought that. And then when I ran the webinar, those same two or three people were the two or three that bought the main thing. I thought it would rule them out. I was like, oh, damn it, they've bought that. They're not going to buy the thing now. Yeah, I think there's people that are buyers and people that are not buyers, you know? So it's a good point. And I think for everyone listening to this, I guess what I'm saying here is I'm not saying don't do the freebie thing because that can be a good way to get started. Maybe you don't know, whatever, you know, you're just getting started, which is fine. But just be aware of that is what I'd suggest. You know, if you're just giving out freebies to build it, you may get people that aren't necessarily buyers. Now,
and it's matching that freebie to the thing that you want them to buy. Yeah. So free templates are hugely useful. But does that naturally segue into a course on managing multiple projects? I'm not sure.
Yep.
So it's that journey, that customer journey of how do you push them through your ecosystem so that they eventually end up buying your high ticket offers.
Bang on. And I'll go back to the fitness world as well, because we're famous for doing this in the fitness world in gyms and that. There used to be all these competitions, you know, like, you know, enter your email in here and go into the draw to win a free iPad. It's kind of like, yeah, all right. Every idiot wants a free iPad.
Who doesn't want a free iPad? Everyone.
It doesn't mean that the chances that they're also going to
sign up
for your
gym. Mind you.
You know? So, I think it's a good point. So, but question with that, Elizabeth, to build your list to, you know, 16,000 now, like, or even 12,000 back then, you're obviously doing some really good stuff to build it. Was that mainly from your blog or how did you build that list to that size?
Gosh, loads of different ways. One thing is just having an email list for so many years over time, people just find you. Yep. Having a website where there are call to actions, so we are encouraging people to sign up, which is a blog post and then a call to action that directs them to the template that they need to use to do that particular thing that I've just taught them in the blog post. Then I've done joint webinars with other people in the industry. I've done joint webinars with suppliers. That kind of freebie webinar actually works really well as a list builder for me, partly because in my, you know, from my professional project managers, people who do it as a job, lots of them are certified and they need professional development credits every year to keep their learning up to date. So offering them something free that allows them to continue to do that and tick the box for their professional development is good. What else have we done? And I email every week. Like, I mean, I don't do two emails like you. I think that's probably a bit much for me to create and for them to receive.
Yeah.
But I've emailed some people every day, every week for years. And sometimes it takes a long time for them to convert to buyers because they need to be at the right point in their career where they find my resources would be more useful if they got the paid ones. But sometimes, you know, sometimes people join the list straight away and then buy straight away because I just happen to find them at the right place. But like you, I have a Facebook group, I have a Facebook page. I only started on Instagram last year, I think. So that's quite new to me. I'm more spending more time on LinkedIn now, which I never used to do. So there's lots of, I'm trying not to just have one way of collecting people on the list. I'm trying to do lots of different things.
The moral I see there is you've always been building. It feels like it's always been a goal. So, right, I know I need to build my email list. How can I build it? All right, cool. Let me make sure I'm always doing something to build it there, which I think is important. And if you consistently do that, it's going to build over time. It's another good thing you said there as well, which was the professional development points. So I found that's the ticket. If you're listening to this and you can do that, because that's what I do in the fitness industry now, right? Most personal trainers are certified. They need to do a certain amount of CEC courses to keep their accreditation. That's what I do, the CEC courses. But I charge for it because they pay money, you know, to get their points there. So I think anyone that's listening, if you can go down that vertical, you know, whether it's project managers, personal trainers, accountants, real estate agents, physical therapists, chiropractors, nutritionists, dietitians, like most of these people have it. And I found that's also a very successful method as well. Like, let's say you're a dietitian, right? Yeah, you can sell online diet programs to the general public, but it's a very tough market. There's so many people out there, right? If you can put something, or if you can put together something that other dietitians can buy, and you can essentially put together that one thing, it's a way easier sell because, you know, they're doing it for their career. They're probably more invested. They're going to get their PDP points or CPD points or whatever. So I think that's a good market as well. So, okay.
That's a really good point, actually, because I also do online courses, but more like webinars that are taught, and I charge for that. So while some of the things I've done in the past for list building have been free, in the last 18 months, I've been doing live webinars as a one-off, or maybe one or two, with a pack of resources. So come to the training, be there an hour and a half, get your credential points, and go away with handouts and templates that will then allow you to put that into action back in the workplace the next day. So there's lots of different ways I think you can do online courses, but in a sort of smart way. And then, of course, then I've got an asset. I taught it live and now I sell the replay. So that's just that's not the managing multiple projects course, but just a different way to look at what you can do.
Yes, for sure. Now, tell me a little bit about the course, Elizabeth. So what platform do you use? How long is it? Is it more videos, text? Let us know a little bit about that. More from like, I know your users probably don't, like just from a course creator side of things. So other people can be like, that platform's cool and whatever.
Well, the tech stack has changed quite a lot over time. The very first 6 month version was on WordPress with Wishlist Member as the membership gate plugin content. Then I used Teachery for the next version. And I really liked Teachery, but they don't have a native way to have sort of a student dashboard where you can see all the different products. And because I sell different webinars and, you know, over the years, I've added a few other bits and different courses, I wanted the dashboard. So when Thrivecart Learn came out, because I was already a Thrivecart customer, I was like, yes, this is awesome. I have a student dashboard. It integrates with the payment system. Yeah. I don't have to set up new Stripe connections and all this stuff. So the version it's on now, it runs on Thrivecart Learn and I love it. The only downside I'm finding with that is that there's no search. So students can't type in to say, which of these modules, because the smaller the videos, the more modules there are, the more lessons there are. And people can't type in to say, oh, which lesson did she talk about Pareto principle, or which lesson did she talk about the helicopter project management. That there's they have to kind of rely on looking at the transcripts, which is something that Wishlist Member and WordPress obviously have built in. Natively, you can search, put a search bar in WordPress and it will search all your content. So that's great for looking at the transcripts. So I haven't found a perfect platform yet. I'm open to suggestions. If you or the listeners have anything that would do the search and have all the features that make it look like Thrivecart Learn with a dashboard.
Yeah.
But I have to say Thrivecart Learn is a great starting platform. It's really easy to use, and it's just revolutionized the way that I can present materials.
Yeah. I'll share a couple of things there. I don't use the search function much. So I can't give a suggestion there. There's one platform that everyone that comes on and uses it, he swears by, is Searchy. Have you heard about Searchy?
I have heard of Searchy, yes.
Okay.
And I did. That's a really interesting point, actually. Thank you. It's like getting coaching because I did use it for a bit, and then I found on a membership site.
Yeah.
And I found my members weren't using it. And so we stopped. But actually, if search is my biggest problem now, because the feedback I'm getting from students is very much that they want to be able to search, because it comes back to what we were saying earlier about people being time poor and they just want to go straight to the bit, whether it's worth looking at Searchy again. Mm.
I haven't
I'm
used
taking
it,
notes.
But yeah, but everyone that comes on swears by it. So I've used them all, right? Because I've been in the online game since 2014. The one, and it depends what stage you're at. This is the way I see it now. And I think this has kind of got nothing to do with your course, but I think it's good for the listeners and it's just a good conversation to have, right? So I think this is the way I break down the whole online course side of things. The first question you want to ask yourself is essentially, do I want to use a marketplace or do I want to not use a marketplace? Now, a lot of people see marketplace as the easy thing. Yeah, I'll put it on Udemy and it'll just sell itself and I don't need to do anything. Doesn't really work like that. Like platform like Udemy, yeah, there's a small minority of people that are very successful on there. But for most people, like I'm sure if you typed in project management in Udemy, there'd be hundreds of courses and, you know, they're sold for $10 and you get 50% of it. Like I think Udemy, if you want to make...
And people who've been on Udemy... Sorry,
yeah, no,
people who've been on Udemy who jumped on early have now got thousands of students and thousands of great reviews. And to come in as a provider now, 10 years after that, I don't know when Udemy started, but you know, many years after other people have already been making a name for themselves, it must be a really hard market to break into.
Bang on. Well, I'm on there and I make $20 a month from it, you know, maybe 50 on a good, I do my other stuff as well, but as a tester, I want to be like, I'm going to put it on there and see what happens, you know? So, you know, I mean, if you want to, and look, maybe if I pushed it, I can make a couple hundred bucks or something. So I think maybe, you know, if you're like, hey, I want to make a couple hundred bucks a month and do nothing, great. You know, Udemy, if you want to make any more than couple hundred bucks a month, you're probably going to have to do it yourself, right? The next question is then, do I self-host on my own website like Elizabeth did originally, or do I use a third party? Now, I think both of those can work depending on the person. I think the if you already have a website and you're pretty good with WordPress, I think there's an argument to host it on your own website. You kind of already got a website anyway. You know, the plugin's probably $100 a year or something like that. You know how to do it. Okay, you know, I'm not going to argue too much if someone's going to do that. There are a few down points I found when I did it, and I'm interested to get your opinion as well. But for the other side of things, if you don't already have a website, and you're not good with WordPress, then I wouldn't self-host it because there's too many things that can go wrong. And then you've got to set up your website, yada, yada, yada. So then we get to the self-hosting side of things. We get to the third-party LMS side of things. Now there's all these different options: Teachable, Teachery, Thinkific, Kajabi, Thrivecart Learn, Usenla, so many of them, right? I kind of separate them into two. There's either all-in-ones that do everything, like the emails, the sales pages, the course hosting, all that side of things. And then there's the ones that focus more just on the course hosting side of things, right? I'm not a huge fan of the ones that focus just on the course hosting side of things, because usually their sales pages are pretty crap, their cards are pretty crap. You then need to get your own email marketing. Thrivecart's a bit of a different one. We'll talk about that a bit later. But if we're just going to simplify it, it's kind of like those things like Teachable and Thinkific, great to host your course on. Not really, really good experience for the students, but it's harder to sell on those kind of platforms there. If you do something like Usenla or Kajabi, it's a little bit easier because everything's all in the one place there. Now, on that side of things, Kajabi is like the gold standard for online courses, but it's a little bit pricey. You're looking at minimum $100 a month for like three courses. If you like me and Elizabeth and we got a heap of them, you're paying $400 a month with Kajabi. Now, it's worth it. Don't get me wrong. I'd pay $400 a month to Kajabi, but I've been doing this game a while. To someone starting off, $400 a month is quite a lot, right? For that reason, for most people starting off, I recommend New Zenla because you can do everything on there for $70 a month, right? Now, I've just recently moved some of my courses over to Thrivecart Learn for a couple different reasons. The thing that Thrivecart does the best is the checkout carts. Like, they just make it so easy to sell. And now that they've got the Learn function as well, it's kind of like it's so easy to sell. And then there's just, you give them access straight away. It's the one platform. Like, it's really, really good for that. I like the course hosting side of things. The one thing Thrivecart, to my understanding, doesn't have is the email marketing side of things. So am I right in saying you use ActiveCampaign?
I use ConvertKit.
Yeah, ConvertKit.
And
yeah.
Thrivecart and Teachery and WordPress all integrate fine with ConvertKit. Yep. I like the fact that ConvertKit can do things beyond just selling the courses. Yeah. So I can have onboarding sequences. We can do that scrubbing of the email list. We can do the re-engagement sequences and see all the statistics and open rates and all that. So ConvertKit's got, because I believe in email marketing as a way to have my land. I don't want to be building my business on Facebook or LinkedIn or somebody else's platform. So I'm building it on ConvertKit, but
you can download that.
Export.
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah.
So there's lots of good things about email marketing and having something that's just dedicated for that. But if you were starting out and you just wanted to do all the things in one place, then you're right. Thrivecart Learn would not give you that. It wouldn't give you the email marketing piece.
The advantage of, I don't know what it's like now, but the advantage of Thrivecart Learn, the way they got me, it was a one-time fee. I paid
I
paid $500 to get lifetime access to Thrivecart. I jumped on that. I still have to use this other platform, Samcart, as well. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Samcart. It's like a rival to Thrivecart.
I don't use it, but I have
heard of it.
I'm an affiliate for people who do use Samcart. So I log into my Samcart dashboard. See that angle of it.
Well, I'm paying about $100 a month for Samcart because I've got some subscriptions on there that are still there. So I still got to have it, you know? But I'm like, man, I wish I just got Thrivecart from the start. You know, and I've been on Samcart for 10 years, you know, like I've probably paid
them. Starts to add up, doesn't it?
I've paid them about $10,000, I'd say, you know, when I could have just got Thrivecart for 500. And then I think I paid an extra couple $100 or something and got the Learn as well. So it's like, that's an advantage as well, depending on where you are starting off. If you've got no cash, all right, it might be better to start with the free version of New Zenla and then the $50 a month one. But if you got $500, buy it once, never have to worry about it again. So it's a sweet. Oh no, I thought of one other thing I don't like about Learn though. It doesn't have the native. I need to put my videos on Vimeo and then embed code there. You know, I don't like that.
Yes, I do that.
Yeah. What's your take?
I use Vimeo as well.
Yeah.
And just load them all as unlisted and then copy and paste the tech in. But to be honest, I do that for hosting on WordPress as well. I do that for hosting on other things. I do have a YouTube channel, so I know you can put unlisted videos up on YouTube and then use that without having to pay for a video hosting service. But I like the fact that Vimeo gave me the option to color code the play button and things like that, and it's more customizable and less ad heavy than YouTube is. So I went with that one.
Well, that's why I did it. I originally had unlisted YouTube ones because what I like about using the native, so say with New Zenla, you can just upload the video straight away to New Zenla, right? And then that's all someone can just watch the video. That's it, right? I then went and did some stuff on Thrivecart Learn. I went on YouTube, got the embed video, but it's kind of like after the video, all the little boxes come up trying to send you to YouTube, you know, trying to get me to watch Beyonce videos and, you know, martial arts videos. And I'm like, oh,
that's not the impression that your customers want, is it? You don't want to send your customers off to watch Cats and Cucumbers or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Or Minecraft. Honestly, if it was on my channel, it would just be my kids' Minecraft videos. Like, oh no, it's another Minecraft. No, and I don't want my customers to have that experience. It needs to be a professional course with professional tech. And I came to the conclusion that it was worth paying for video hosting, so I didn't have that low quality view of what I would perceive to be not the greatest professionalism. But if you, what's the benefit then of being able to host natively? Because then you can't direct people direct to the video itself.
Well, a couple of things.
They have to log in.
Or more just say from that side of things, it's just the cash side of things. It's like, let's say you could just upload it straight to Thrivecart there. You're saving yourself, you know, how much you're paying for Vimeo?
Oh, when I started, 20, it wasn't expensive, but now it's a couple of hundred a year at least.
Yeah, something like that. You're essentially saving that, you know, like if you didn't have to put them on video first and it just uploaded there, you know, just there. It's not a huge thing, but it's just, say for someone starting off, it's just like, oh man, I've got Thrivecart for 500. Now I've got to get Vimeo. Now I've got to get ConvertKit. You know, now I've got to get this other thing. It's just like the things can add up. That's why for a beginner, I'd recommend Muzenla, just because it's kind of like, there's a free version that's really good, or for 70 or 60 bucks a month, you just get everything, you know. That's there. But hey, we're getting a bit short on time here, Elizabeth, so we'll start to wrap things up. I'm going to hand it over to you here. Is there anything I should have asked you but forgot to?
Well, one of the things that I found was a great benefit of putting the course together was that it led me to writing my next book. So I wrote a book called Managing Multiple Projects, which was the same five steps as in the course, but with obviously a lot more words, and I had the opportunity to explain a lot more and share some student stories and things in there. So creating your online course doesn't have to be the end. You can use that material in other ways. And for me, because I think I'm a writer at heart, I put a book proposal together. I sent it off to a traditional publisher. They liked it, and the book came out a couple of months ago.
Awesome. Congratulations. Let's give that a plug, and let's give a few different things a plug here. Let's give your book a plug. If someone wants to get better at project management, what's the name of the book? Where do they go? And then also if someone wants...
Oh, I should have said that.
Yeah, well, actually do it now, and then I'll ask it the next question. So okay. What's the name of the book?
The book's called Managing Multiple Projects. It's Managing Multiple Projects, How Project Managers Can Balance Priorities, Manage Expectations, and Increase Productivity. But you can just type Managing Multiple Projects into Amazon or your favorite bookstore, or even go into a real bookstore if you want to support your independent publisher, your independent bookstores close to you, and they'll be able to get you a copy.
Awesome. I'll put the link in the show notes.
So that's that.
Yep.
Thank you.
No dramas. If someone wants to follow you personally, where's the platform of choice? Is it your Facebook group? You're on Instagram now? Both of them, anything else?
I'm on all the places. I mean, LinkedIn is a great place to connect with me. We have a Facebook group called Project Management Cafe, which is a huge mix of people who want to be project managers or who are managing projects but don't have that project management job title, event planners, architects, all kinds of people in there. It's a really nice, friendly group, actually. And then I'm also on Instagram as elizabeth.harrin, so you can find me there too.
Awesome. All right, Elizabeth, thanks for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been great fun.
Hey, course creators, real quick before we get into today's episode, I've got a little favor to ask. As a lot of you are probably aware, one of my goals for this year is to get to massively grow this podcast and get it to be one of the top ranking podcasts in the marketing space. To do that, what really helps is if I can generate as many ratings as reviews as possible from listeners. So if you're a returning listener, if you could take a couple seconds and just give me a quick rating and review on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform you listen to, that would mean the world to me. Anyway, let's get to today's show.